On the theater bill this weekend in New Haven is Playboy of the Western World by William Singh. The production's been mounted by the famed Abbey Theater of Ireland and will tour 6 American cities. Last month, when the same production was showing at the Abbey's main theater in Dublin, the organization that oversees the Irish National Theater was meeting to discuss its latest fiscal crisis. NPR's Lynn Neary reports.
The Abbey Theatre's beginnings are inextricably linked with the history of modern Ireland. It was founded by William Butler Yeats and Lady Augusta Gregory as Ireland was on the cusp of its fight for independence from England. Irish writer Colm Tobin recently authored a book on Lady Gregory. Tobin says Yeats and Lady Gregory set out to create a national theatre that would promote an idealized image of the Irish past and future. That idea resonated strongly with Irish patriots.
If you were a patriot in these years, the Abbey Theatre in the early years of the 20th century was a great place where suddenly Ireland was being rediscovered and reinvented, and this would lead eventually towards revolution.
But Tobin says there was always an inherent tension in the idea of the Abbey as a national theatre, because both Yeats and Lady Gregory were members of the Protestant upper class. So was the playwright John Millington Synge, whose work was being showcased at the Abbey.
And of course, the Catholic patriots who were getting ready for a revolution against the British realised that somehow this wasn't proper, this wasn't right. It was right when it was on their side. But once it moved into areas of freedom of expression to put on comic masterpieces which didn't idealise the peasantry, then the patriots went crazy.
When Singh's Playboy of the Western World was first staged at the Abbey in 1904, riots broke out in the theatre. Though the play seems tame by today's standards, Singh's depiction of peasants in the west of Ireland infuriated Irish patriots, who were insulted by the story of a mysterious playboy who claims to have killed his own father.
Well, isn't it great luck and company I've won me in the end of time? Two fine women fighting for the likes of me. I'm thinking this night, wasn't I a foolish fella not to have killed my father in the years gone by?
But if, in the early days, the Abbey's productions sometimes inspired rage, Tobin says they were also a source of inspiration for Irish writers seeking a voice.
If you were somebody interested in writing, you could go in and see new writing, you know, every week or every month. Someone like Sean O'Casey, who was thinking through these years of becoming a writer, desperately ambitious, half illiterate, teaching himself all the way how to write. He went in to see every play in that theatre. That theatre changed his life, as it did a number of young men who were like him.
Beginning with Singh and O'Casey, the Abbey spawned a tradition of Irish playwriting that won worldwide acclaim and continues to this day.
Hi, McMahon, 2 tickets? Yes.
Last spring at the Peacock Theatre, the Abbey's main forum for new plays, tickets sold well for Eugene O'Brien's Savoy. O'Brien's had 2 plays produced by the Abbey. His first, Eden, was both a critical and box office success. The promising young playwright says the Abbey has been very supportive of his work.
The first play, Eden, was done very easily. Like, I didn't have to go through 3 years of kind of workshopping and getting the letter then at the last minute going, you were not doing it, or literally the manuscript was given in to Ben Barnes, artistic director, and he decided there and then to, we have to do this.
O'Brien's autobiographical plays about life in a small town in Ireland have strong audience appeal, but that's not always the case, and producing new plays can be a risky business.
The word crisis is used frequently. I can't remember a time when Irish theatre wasn't in a state of crisis.
Lynn Parker is a member of the Rough Magic Theatre Company and also directs for the Abbey. The Irish, says Parker, continue to be ambivalent about their national theatre.
Anything the Abbey does will get reams of letters in the Irish Times with X million opinions, because people feel thoroughly possessive of their national theatre, and the Abbey's special in that regard. They don't always show up when you do the shows.
Low box office receipts are one reason for a recent move to oust artistic director Ben Barnes.
Welcome back. You're listening to Morning Ireland. It's 13 minutes past 8. Now, there was drama off stage as well as on at the Abbey Theatre last night. A financial crisis, job cuts, and the artistic director Ben Barnes called back from a tour of Australia to face an extraordinary general meeting and demands he lose his job.
Barnes survived a vote of no confidence. He says the Abbey remains committed to fostering Irish writers, even when their work does not lead to success at the box office. The Abbey, says Barnes, has to strike a balance between plays that sell tickets and plays that don't.
You know, in the course of the year, if we're producing a lot of new work or work which might be difficult to find an audience for, it's balanced out by productions of work from our repertoire, like Playboy, like Plough and the Stars. And I suppose, in you know, my job in a way is to balance those things out. And I think that, you know, it's wonderful when those new works really strike a chord with an audience and brings in a big audience. But we have actually, there's a lot of competition for within the theatre and within the, you know, entertainment industry, if you want to put it that way, for getting audiences into a theatre like this. It's very competitive.
Barnes has suggested a number of changes that might help ease the Abbey's financial problems, including a shorter season and sales of subscription tickets. In looking toward the future, Barnes says his main goal is to protect the theatre's artistic mission.
It's certainly the easiest to take shows out of the repertoire or to reduce the number of productions or reduce the size of casts or whatever. So I'd like to think that what we're about at the moment is finding a way to insulate the work, the art, what we do, what goes on the stage. And I think that's got to be our primary concern.
But the Abbey also receives government funding. And the real challenge for the future, says Lynn Parker, will be convincing both the public and the government that Irish theatre is a commodity that deserves financial support.
What we have to do is raise our game and to make our own nation aware of and proud of its skills, its creative abilities, which is absurd in a way, because that's what we're famous for. We're not famous for making cars and aeroplanes. We're famous for writing.
As the Abbey Theatre enters its second century, it will be playing to a new Ireland, young, confident, economically prosperous, and culturally diverse. And if the Abbey can make its voice heard amid the variety of media competing for the attention of this audience, it might just have the chance once again to help shape the identity of a changing nation. Lynn Neary, NPR News.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.